I'll go ahead and talk now so that that'll be out of your way. Oh, no, he's going to talk. Just sing. Tim, I don't know what it is about me and sports analogies and sports prophecies, but maybe it's because I like sports. But one of the things that Brian said this weekend was opportunities that we have to minister to people, to love on people that come our way, and we feel a nudge from God, but we just pass them by, whether that be complete strangers at the supermarket or somebody here in church. And he put it this way, it's like we're standing in the batter's box and watching pitch and after pitch go by, and when are we going to swing? And I was thinking about that a lot last night, and then on my way to work, or on the way to church. And I was tired. And I love baseball. I like baseball. I like the stats, the sabermetrics, everything that goes into it. And one of my favorite players, I'm a Phillies guy for the last several years. As about everybody knows, I'm a Ryan Howard guy. And if you know who Ryan Howard is, he's big, 6'5", 260 pounds. And when he was in his day before he got injured, he swung a 37-ounce bat. And that's extremely heavy to be hitting 100-mile-per-hour pitch with. But year after year, he'd lead the league in home runs and RBIs. But much to everybody that made fun of me and my Ryan Howard, Phillies fans, other fans, he struck out all the time. He'd just swing and miss and strike out. And in places when you just really wish he'd come through, sometimes he'd strike out because the odds were he was going to strike out. When Ryan Howard hit the ball, things happen. You know, and I want to be a swinger. I want to be a swinger. I want to be out there. And I think that God, I know that God has given a new level of his spirit to our church. And we're swinging a big bat right now. And that bat that we're swinging is God's love. And we need to swing it at people. You know, we're going to connect sometimes. And we're going to swing and miss. And we're going to look stupid sometimes. And that ball is going to break away from us. That person is going to break away from us. And we're going to swing. And we're going to feel dumb. We're going to feel rejected. But daggone, are they going to feel the wind behind that swing. They're going to feel a little bit of love. Let's stand and worship with us one more time this weekend.
Listen, before they played this song, some of us have, most of us, have gone along thinking that God is not good or he can't be good. I don't know. We got this thing in our head where it's like we want it to be true, but we don't know if it is true, so we're afraid to go for it. God is good. God is good. And when we say God is good all the time, it's God. God is good. And he can be trusted. And I heard God say, I want to unleash over us, over our congregation, over his people, an emotional healing in your hearts. Some of you have lived a lie, and you just can't get out of the lie. Look, it's a lie. It's a lie. And it only becomes a lie when you partner with it, because it has no power over you unless you partner with it. So you can undo it. You can just say, I renounce that lie in the name of Jesus. And you can walk in the freedom that he has for you. Mm-hmm. I promise you, he wants to free you. Yeah. Not in just some little way where, like, you know, little shackles fall off. He wants big shackles to fall off today. Yeah. Off of you, he says, off. Shame off of you, guilt off of you, depression off of you, anxiety off of you, pornography off of you, unbelief off of you. Amen. Off. Amen. He wants it off because he's after your heart. What was that word last week? I don't even remember that word. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. Oh, he so wants your heart because he so, he so loves you. And he wants you set free. So if you even have an inkling of it today, or if there's anything in you that's biting at your heels saying, I can't have that, that's a lie. It's a straight up lie from the pit. And you don't have to live a lie because we have what? The truth. For every lie, there's a truth. There's one truth. It's Jesus Christ. And he's over anything. Any lie you have in your life, he is just stinking over it. He is all over it. And you can trust him. So if you feel it today, don't wait. Don't. Why would you wait for freedom? I don't get it. Why would you wait to be set free? What? Is it working for you the way it is? No. Oh, my word. Just jump in. Go. It's free. It's fun. It's good. It's God. Woo.
Guys, that's Jesus talking to us.
I wasn't going to share this because...
You guys can sit down.
Because I didn't think I really needed to, but after what Wendy shared, I guess it kind of goes right along with it. Well, while we were singing and worshiping, I was sitting here and God was just running through my mind and he was giving me these visions of...
Here, let me hold this for you.
He was giving me these visions of what... He was just showing me himself. And this is a little bit repetitive of what I wrote on yesterday. But as I was worshiping, I just saw... I'll just read it. Jesus is standing in authority from his throne. He's no longer sitting. He cries with the lion. He cries with the roar of a lion at the distress of his children. He roars as if to say, "They are mine and mine alone, and no one else or nothing else will take them from me." He takes one step forward and transforms into the Lion of Judah and sprints from his throne to the call of his child. The grass seems to separate for him. The waters become solid, and he steps on them with no disturbance. The mountains separate, and the valleys rise up to make flat the way of the Lord. The Lord will have the desire of his heart. The chains and burdens melt from the wrists and ankles of his beloved if they would only look on him and then on themselves to see that they are truly free.
Is that what you got?
That's what I got.
Whew. Rob, can you get the house lights? May I remind you, this is our living room and we are a family. So shed your predispositions of how to act in church. He's not after religion. He's after friends. And this is a family. You can take your shoes off here. You can be honest. You don't have to use Christian language. You can just use normal human language. And he wants your heart. Did you feel his heart?
Yes.
Did you feel his tenderness?
Yes.
And how he's purchased your heart's healing and your joy and your peace. He's purchased it all. And it really pains him to see us hold on to broken stuff. And he so delights in his children. Did you hear the protective father, the protective big brother Jesus, bursting, growling from his throne? to fight on behalf of his people? We're moving towards the Lord's Supper now, so I want to give a moment here for some of that to settle in and for us to pray through individually what he just said to us. So, would you pray with me? God, we want the real. We want the real thing. We don't want hype. We don't want fluff. We want the real. We want really you, Jesus. We want the straight word of God. We want to follow you. Teach us how. Teach us how. It's so hard, God, to do it in our own strength. And you see it. You see how we've tried to follow you. We've tried to believe you. We've tried to represent you well. And we're stumbling here, God. We want the real. We want the real. Father, yesterday you spoke to us and you said, I love you because I love you, because I love you, because I love you, because I love you. Why? Why would you love? Because I love you, because it is my nature to love you, because I am your Father. I cannot stop loving you because I cannot stop being me. I will always love you. And I will never stop loving you with the same passion that drove me to ask my son, would you go? Would you go get back my children? I will never stop feeling that same passion. Why, God? Why would you do this? Because I love you, because I love you, because I love you, because I love you. You can't run too far. You cannot provoke me to change my mind about you. You can't shock me so greatly that I change my mind. You cannot. Lord, I'm asking that today you would be revealed as a good dad. A good dad who didn't send Jesus to die because of how disgusting we are, but just the opposite. You sent Jesus to die because underneath the mess we've made, all you saw was a son that had wandered away. On the night that the Lord Jesus gave himself for us for the joy set before him, which was you, he took bread and he broke it. Actually, he blessed, then broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it as often as you do in remembrance of me. What could it possibly mean except I love you because I love you because I love you because I love you? You know the routine. We file through in an orderly fashion. Take a piece of bread, take a cup, return to your seat, and we will participate at the same time together. And Carl, make sure the nursery workers know about it. Did you hear me? The nursery workers, make sure they know too. Carrie said that she's got something to share.
I just have...
Yeah. Never mind. It's not on. Hold on. I told you it was because I was wrong.
I just have another word about freedom. We sing the song, I am free, I am free, I am free, I am free. And I'm telling you, if you are singing those words and you know deep down in the pit of your soul that you're not free, you want to be free, but you're not free, I'm telling you, the Lord has bought your freedom for you. We also sang where the... where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm missing the verse.
Everybody,
for freedom, he set us free. He did not set us free for us to live in bondage.
Yeah.
If you say, it is my struggle, you are believing a lie, you are agreeing with the devil. And I'm telling you guys, don't do it. Don't do it. Embrace the truth that the Lord has bought your freedom. And I challenge you to do whatever it takes to chase him down, to grab the corner of his cloak and say, I will not release you until you give me what I need, my healing.
Yep.
The Lord has that for you. And yes.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Here's the deal, guys. The Jewish people were slaves. And then the Lord set them free. I want you to picture this. Picture Jewish people whose parents were slaves, living in the promised land in dysfunction and idolatry, saying, well, the reason I am the way I am is because my parents were slaves and I learned it from them. In other words, they haven't even crossed over to the reality that they're in the promised land, for crying out loud. Get those slave mindsets off. Do you know where you are living now, my friends? It is no fiction that if you are a Christian, it is no fiction we are the children of God. Taylor Hamilton has a message, and then we'll take communion, I think. Thank you so much for being a congregation that can flow with the Spirit of God.
I'm sweaty and shaky, so I'm feeling sick, so I knew I had to, whatever. Anyway, to go with Wendy and everybody's thing of freedom, during my DTS, I think I shared this already with you guys, but during week one, we had this Father Heart of God week, and our speaker one day shared about monsters in the closet. And for the whole week then, we all took turns with a ball and chain on our leg, and we all had to do it for like an hour or whatever. Just go about our normal day activities, ball and chain. And I had my hour. You picked, you know, you just passed it on after your hour is done. I had my hour during a meeting that we had. So almost the entire time, I'm just in the living room, just sitting there with my ball and chain. And I still felt heavy. I still felt just weighed down. And I'm sitting there being lazy. I mean, there was some people that they had it during our free time. So we're in the gym, like, skateboarding around, and they're, like, trying to play basketball or skateboard or whatever with a ball and chain. And in reality, it's like, what are you doing? God has the key, and he's not dangling it above your head. He's waiting at the lock. And we have the choice to let Satan and his condemnation add weight, add more links. Just, you know, I'm just going to step away from it instead of being set free. I'm just going to lengthen these links. So that way, you know, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. It's still there. And the length, if we're running, is obviously going to catch up with us. We're going to be tied down. We're going to be heavy. We're going to feel heavy. Just sitting there with the ball and chain on my leg, I wasn't running around, and I felt it. I was tired. And God just was speaking to me today, and he's like, I got the key. Some of these people in here, they're heavy. They're not doing anything. Some of them are just, you know, going about their normal day, but they're adding links or just sitting waiting for it to be released. Ask. Ask and it will be given to you. He's waiting right there at the lock with the key, guys. And he wants you to be set free. He doesn't want that. Satan is there with the weights. He's with the links. And he's trying to get in your head, like, you know, you're doing okay if you just step a little bit away from it, step farther from it. God doesn't want that, and he's tired of us thinking that that's how we have to live. He's got the key, guys, and we just have to ask him for release. Ask him for freedom, and he will give it to you.
Are you kidding me? What in the world? Okay, yes, we're rolling. You need to get up here because I apologize to say this as though you don't know it. You're somewhat shorter. So you got to get up here so they can see your face, your beautiful, shining face.
I felt this during worship. I saw a sea of the saints who have gone on before us. They were here just like we were, persevering, trusting God for everything.
Yeah.
And we're here. It doesn't matter to God. It's the same to him, whether we're here at home in the body or absent from the body and present with the Lord. Our worship is all the same. We're all doing it. And they are rooting for us.
Yes,
that's our final reward. We are going there too.
Yes.
So let's just persevere. We're God's love. Love is the brightest light. And God sent Jesus. That is the hope in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let you pray to the Lord on your own this time. I'm not going to tell you when to eat. When you're ready, when you've prayed and you're sufficiently ready, you eat. And you eat knowing he's bought your freedom in his blood and his body. Okay?
Okay, last night when I was in bed and I was trying to sleep, I suddenly got a vision from the Lord. And in my mind's eye, I saw myself kind of like in those old Western movies, and I was chained to the railroad tracks and the train was coming. And in my mind, I was expecting Jesus to come in and unchain me from the tracks and release me. And I remember, I hear God say, no, not only did I unchain you from those tracks, I stepped in front of that train and I put out my hand and I stopped that train. And when I stopped that train, it was destroyed and there no longer is no train. There is no train. It's gone. And that was it.
That's a good word. Ladies and gentlemen, Hugh Rowan. Let me hold that for you. Right up in the mouth.
I like to fish. And I don't do it too much anymore because I moved on to other type. I used to go trout fishing on mountain rivers. And those rivers ran free, rushing. You got out past your knees, they just took you right off your feet. Because they were free. Man would come along and dam up a river.
Huh.
And it would become still. And it would not carry life. Jesus said, anyone who thirsts, I have water. And rivers of living water will flow out of them. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's like swinging at that pitch. Our heart is like a pump. It receives and it pumps out. And if it's not open on the tail end, it cannot receive anything into its front end. So don't dam up the river. Swing at the pitch.